We're going to read Luke 1, verse 39, on page 724 in the Church Bible. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Yes, thank you, Judith. Are you like Elizabeth? We are doing an Advent series on five characters, really, in the Advent stories. So we started off with Joseph 2 weeks ago. Last week, Alex Stewart was here. Focus on Zechariah. Today it's Elizabeth. Next week, Elmer will focus on, in his sermon, on Mary. And on Christmas morning, we'll focus on the shepherds. So today, Elizabeth. And you're invited to enter the story, enter his story, that is not just as a spectator looking at this beautiful, the nativity stories and just think about what happened there, but try to imagine that you are part of what happened then. How would you respond to the things happened? So, Zechariah, you read it last week, he and Elizabeth were both upright, that's what we read in verse 6, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, and they were childless in that order. First of all, upright, secondly, childless. Gabriel, the archangel, announced the birth of John the Baptist, and as we heard last week, Zechariah did not really believe that that could happen. And today the focus now on Elizabeth, because she became pregnant when he came home, and she was there for 5 months at home, seeing nobody and giving God the honor of that she, in her old age, was pregnant, that her disgrace was taken away. So after 5 months, and that's what we read and we'll focus on next week, the archangel Gabriel visited Mary. And in the announcement that Mary would become pregnant through the Holy Spirit, the archangel Gabriel adds, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren is in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God." So in the announcement to Mary, something was communicated already, a miracle was communicated to Mary, that her relative Elizabeth, in her old age, was pregnant. So what we read in the Bible immediately after this is what Judith just read, that Mary hurried to go to Elizabeth. And we can imagine what happened there. She was only just pregnant. Gabriel had told her that she would conceive through the Holy Spirit, and her relative Elizabeth, old also. So off she went to Elizabeth. And when Mary was greeting Elizabeth, something special happened. And you can just imagine the greeting, how this went. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm pregnant, an angel, Gabriel, the Holy Spirit through the... She did not understand what happened. She believed what happened. But she didn't understand. So probably with all sorts of mixed, exciting things. And are you pregnant? Well, you could see with Elizabeth after 5 months, you can see you're pregnant, but not yet with Mary. And what then happened, as Mary greeted Elizabeth, there in the womb of Elizabeth, where John the Baptist was already 5 months old, young, it said the baby John the Baptist in the womb leaped for joy. Something like this. Hey, mommy, it's him. It's him. He heard the voice of Mary, and through the Holy Spirit, because that was what was announced to Zechariah, that John the Baptist from the very first will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit to announce, to make ready, to make way for the Lord to come, and to announce the Lord's coming. So this was the first response to his call already in the womb, responding to the call. Yes, he is here. And immediately when that happened, I'm told, and I've seen, but I've never experienced, that a baby in your womb can sometimes be very active. I still remember with the two boys that we received, that our oldest Ben he was there all right, but he was not as much as kicking as his younger brother. And Dini would show me, now here, look, and in bed, and I could see, and that was key. But somehow Elizabeth knew about this, but this was a very special leap. She was filled immediately with the Holy Spirit. And as she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed with a loud voice, that's what we just read in verse 42, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear." And what does she mean with blessing? Blessing has always, in the Bible, is always linked to God's purposes. God is working out his purposes in you and in the baby that you are carrying in your womb. And then she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Imagine this senior, this old woman, Elizabeth, saying to this teenage girl, Mary, "The mother of my Lord." Rembrandt has made this in a beautiful painting. The painting is in Detroit. And you see, and I have another close-up, and you can see it more clearly, hopefully, that you can see somebody behind Mary taking off her coat because she just arrived, and the old Elizabeth towards Mary, "You are the mother of my Lord." What has happened in Elizabeth that she could say this in faith? Neither of the women understood what had happened and what is going to happen, but they believed. On the left hand you see Zechariah watching what happened there. Elizabeth acknowledging Mary's humble faith, because in the end she also says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Well, then Elmer will focus on that next week. The response of Mary. But today, the focus on Elizabeth, inspired by Elizabeth's faith. And there are three things I would like to draw out of this event that has inspired me and I believe is a call to all of us and to follow Elizabeth in her faith. First of all, we read that she is upright. She and her husband are upright. We read that in verse 6, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Upright means that you are obedient. So faith shows that you are believing through obedience. I think sometimes in our churches we put too much emphasis on the trust element of faith. If you look in Romans chapter 1, if it works, it doesn't work yet. Agus, could you give me a hand, please? There we go. Romans chapter 1, verse 8, we read that the Romans, that Paul is speaking about the Romans, that they're well known because of their faith. Where is it? I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And right at the end of the book of Romans, in chapter 16, verse 19, we read, everyone has heard about your obedience. So what the people are talking about, the faith of the Christians in Rome, and one very important aspect is obedience. Everybody's talking about your obedience. So faith is talking about trusting and about obedience. And it was very clear to everyone that Zechariah and Elizabeth were obedient people. They were upright. So if you want to be inspired by Elizabeth's faith, it's the obedience to God's law of love. Be faithful in doing what God has called you to do. Secondly, she is humble. Humble. Because faith is believing God is able to work in you. Now, this is very important. Humbleness is being in awe of God and forgetting about yourself and your limitations. Oddly enough, with a little change in emphasis, it becomes pride. It's Screwtape's strategy. If you ever read Screwtape Letters from C.S. Lewis. With a little change of emphasis, that God is able to do something in me. Wow, look what God is doing in me. And it's pride. But look what God is able to do in me. If you are in awe of God, and you forget about yourself and your limitations, sometimes you hear Christians say, oh, not me, no, God can't do. Who am I that he can do? But an attitude like that is very close to pride. Who am I that the Lord can do this to me? Oh, no, 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 no. If you are really humble, you are in awe of God and you focus on God and it's all about God and you don't think anymore about yourself nor about your limitations. I must say here for the young people among us, right, when you're growing up and you're in your adolescence, your teens, and then sometimes it takes longer than average to really realize who you are and your identity, and in your insecurity, you think a lot about who am I, and oh, I am nothing, and I'm not talking to you in from that respect. But once you grow up, true humbleness shows in faith that God is able to work in you. God is able to work in you. Do you really believe that nothing is impossible for God? In Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, in chapter 2 verse 12 and 13, and chapter 4 verse 13, there are just examples of Paul convinced that God is able to accomplish the work that he has started in you. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is able to change you? Do you really believe that God is able to make you more like Jesus? Do you really believe that bad habits in your life can be stopped and that your new habits can be learnt? Maybe you're a senior and you've been walking with Jesus all along, but you haven't changed for the past year. Wake up, because God is able to make you even more like Jesus. Have you given up on your road of sanctification and purification? God is able. Don't think about your limitations and, oh, and your... God is able. That's true humbleness. This is Elizabeth. Elizabeth didn't think, this is not possible. Oh, this must be a mistake. Oh, no, God. Well, I'm pregnant, but that's a big miracle, but... No, it won't be a special person for the Lord. No, that's not possible, because who am I? No, she received her pregnancy and she received the word of the Lord in humbleness, because she was all in awe of the word of God. You're encouraged this morning to really believe. If you're a born-again Christian, because you have confessed your sins before God, have received forgiveness in Jesus Christ and have received the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who will from then, that moment onwards, change you on your pilgrimage, step by step, and he is able. He is able. Lastly, inspired by Elizabeth's faith, her faith is expecting, waiting for God's word to be fulfilled. It's not wishful thinking. Wishful thinking comes from your personal desires. But expectation in Elizabeth was sparked by God's word. She knew about Isaiah chapter 40, make way in the desert, a voice in the desert, make way for God. She knew when she read, because Zechariah couldn't communicate yet, but when he wrote down the words that were spoken to him by the angel Gabriel, that the boy that they would receive, John, that he would go in the spirit of Elijah, preparing the way. She knew the scriptures. She knew about Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, that somebody in the spirit of Elijah would come to announce the coming of the Messiah. She knew her Bible. May the word of God dwell richly in you. Oops. Psalm 1, verse 2, meditating the word of God day and night. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that the word of Christ may dwell richly in you. If there is poverty, spiritual poverty in your life, maybe it's because the word of God is not dwelling richly in you. And maybe you find it difficult to discipline yourself to daily read the scriptures. There are so many aids nowadays on your smartphone with a daily Bible reading, even in your car, and it will come out loud. The whole Bible is there, audio. Find a way to hear the word of God daily. Because only if you know the word of God, you will be able to expect God to do what he has promised. If you don't know what he has promised, and you think, yes, I know all the Bible stories. Yes, but faith is not by something there in your memory. Faith is about something in your heart, and you need to hear it again and again. You need to hear the word of God. Otherwise, you will not be expecting like Elizabeth. And you will not be able to respond like Elizabeth. Inspired by her faith, yes. Upright, obedient, humble. Really believing that God can do something powerful. And I prayed this past week, almost daily. And I'm going to continue to pray that God is going to change this church, IBC Eindhoven. That God is really going to sanctify us and make us more like Jesus. And I'm convinced that God is able to do it. I'm not looking at who you are and who I am and what kind of pastor I am, what kind of deacon, what kind of children's church teacher you are. I'm looking to God. He is able. He is able to make us more and more like Jesus. That more and more this will be a body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and he's begun a work in us, and he's going to accomplish it till the day of Jesus Christ. Going to prepare for communion, but I suggest that we just have a moment of just silence, just remain seated. Take this time to reflect and to pray your personal prayer in silence to God.